Hi, I'm Camille with Heal with Camille podcast. Hey, welcome back. I recently talked to a young lady who is terrified to get married. She just turned 30. And I asked her, what was she afraid of? She wants to be a mom. She wants to have a family and she wants to find love. And she said, I just don't want to feel trapped. I don't want to feel stuck. I don't want to lose my power. I'm afraid if I get married, I'll lose my voice. And I asked her, well, who did that happen to? Well, she looked and I said, you got to tell me who is it you're afraid to end up like. So who is it that went through that? And guess who that was? That was her mom. Her mom ended up without power, cheated on, left behind, raised three kids by herself. Dad, you know, had multiple marriages, was in and out of jail, had a hard time. So this 30-year-old, you know, customer client of mine comes in and her biggest fear is to end up like her mom. So she's literally avoided relationships. She just avoided getting in serious relationships with men that there could be something that happens like a commitment. So I said, so you're probably dating men that it won't hurt. Or if they break up with you, if you break up with them, no big deal because it wasn't going to go anywhere anyway. And they're not the marrying kind of guys. And she said, absolutely. So what I had her look at is, what if she could create it any way she wanted it? How could it look? How could it be? And what was fascinating to me was that she decided some time ago, and you know, she's probably a teenager when she decided this, that her dad left her. And I said, no, that didn't happen. Your dad left the marriage. Your dad left mom. They got divorced, but it wasn't you that he left. She was taking on the wound of her mother. She had been told by her mom that dad was bad, dad hurt her, and she was clumped into that. Dad left us. Dad didn't want us. Dad doesn't love us. And so this was something she personalized. And, you know, even to this day, you know, she's got a relationship with her mother that is, she takes care of her mom in a way. Her mom's the victim still. And I'm not saying her mother didn't get hurt, because she did. That was a difficult thing for her. And I've been a single mother most of my adult life. Not easy, not easy at all. But basically, her mother never recovered from this. And now she's remarried and has to have secret conversations, can't fly out to see her daughter. If she does, she has to sneak the money. She says that her daughter pays for everything, and her daughter does pay for everything mostly. But it just seems like she's still in a relationship where she's powerless, helpless, and she's still the victim. And so this is a condition that her mother has. Her mother is a victim of men. And my cute 30-year-old client sees herself the same way. And so why she's terrified to get married is she's going to end up just like her mother. I said, well, you kind of are right now like your mother. You're avoiding the situation because you are pretty clear that your dad left you, your dad didn't love you, and you're clumped into that. And so you are seeing yourself like your mom and you're the victim. But what if you really don't have to be the victim? See, and maybe that's a conversation you need to look at within ourselves, within yourself. Are you really the victim of someone? And what does being a victim really mean? You know, of course we can be victimized by other people. You know, people take advantage of us, or, you know, we get caught off guard. Maybe someone grabs and snatches our checkbook and steals our money or something. Yes, we're victims, but we don't have to sit in that and stay in that for a lifetime and then wear it like an identity, like it's a hat I put on. I am a victim. And in every relationship with men, I'm going to be the victim. And that's kind of a racket, isn't it? It turns into a racket. It's a habit. It's a way of being that orchestrates how other people treat you. And it's a way of getting attention. It's a way of, I think, controlling other people. And it's a way that people see you. They perceive you a certain way. And then we don't expect much out of that person because we feel so sorry for them. They're the victim. And as I started talking to her about this, you know, she kind of has a little aha moment about, I really remember when my dad really loved me and played with me and held me and hugged me. And I felt safe and secure. And I said, good. Because your dad did love you. Of course he loved you. And if you have those memories, don't let those go and don't forget that. This is a man that she hasn't had hardly any relationship with. He was in and out of jail. Her mom didn't want them around him. I understand there was some trouble. And dad loved his kids. He loved my client. Adored her. This first child, and he was there in his 20s and they played, they had fun. But she has long forgotten that that was her original experience with her father. And she felt betrayed by her father as if she were his wife and he left her too. So I said, let's distinguish who you are for him and who mom is for him. And she could start seeing that she's the daughter. She's not his wife. And she's been working and carrying that wound of her mother, living like it's her own wound as well. and living like I must never go through that again. And I said, well, you never went through that. You'd never been married. So as she started processing this and understanding it, she started realizing that maybe there is a possibility of finding love, being in love, becoming a mom, and having a man that truly loved her because her father did love her. And I think young women especially need to remember or need to know, like dads are really critical for young women. They need to feel like daddy loved me and I was safe and I was secure in my youth. So when that happens, and then girls start hating their father because mom's hurt because dad hurt them and dad betrayed mom, and they start fighting the battle for their mother and they alienate their father because you hurt my poor mommy. And they pick up, you know, that fight and they champion their mom and they hate their dad because of it. That does damage. That does a lot of damage to you as a woman. And you need your dad. You need to remember your dad did love you, does love you. And maybe it's their fight, not yours. And it's not about you. It's about them. And, you know, whatever happened between them, happened between them. It isn't something you need to carry on and ruin your own relationships over. So as I worked this out with her, it was pretty obvious to see she kind of relaxed. And, you know, this relationship she had just ended, this relationship with this boy, he's not a man, he's a boy, and it wasn't going to end in a marriage. And I said, look, I want you to try on, you know, give it a few months. You need to recover. You need to recover from this idea that you were victimized by your dad. What if you weren't? And what if your dad actually loved you, adored you, just couldn't wait to come home and see you and threw you up in the air and would kiss your little face and just cherished you? What if you were absolutely cherished, adored, and loved by your dad? How would that live inside of you? How would you live in the world knowing that you were loved, you were adored, you were cherished, you were precious to your father? And just the tears, just for her to even embrace that idea and have that image in her head of daddy looking at her little face and just adoring her brought her to tears. And it made her remember that that's exactly what happened when she was little. And now as that memory envelops her and she heals from the anger and the pain and, you know, fighting mommy's battle, and she gets to be herself again and not her mom's, you know, attorney or something, you know, she's fighting this battle for her mommy. She gets to realize that she's lovable and she can actually receive love and she could be loved. And this was huge. This was huge for her to kind of understand that. And so she's now going to, you know, start looking at men differently. I promise you that. And realizing that she's worth love because she was loved. Nothing's wrong with her. And nothing's wrong with her, especially in daddy's eyes. So if nothing's wrong with her in daddy's eyes, then men can find her worthy and lovable. So that was a huge breakthrough session I had with a young 30-year-old woman. And I anticipate her finding really the guy she's supposed to end up with and have babies with probably within a year. That's what I predicted. I said, you sort this out. You know, you realize that you're lovable and you never weren't loved by daddy. You really don't have a problem with men because that man didn't betray you. He didn't hurt you on purpose. And whatever collateral damage was what happened, I got there's collateral damage. But you need to, as an adult, look back on this situation and realize that, you know, mom said he hurt us. Mom was hurt and wanted, you know, dad to hurt. So look, the best way sometimes for relationships to hurt each other is influence the children to hate the other partner, which I think is child abuse, frankly. And as I broke that spell off her this last week, I could see her realizing that she'd been fighting a battle that wasn't hers. So I anticipate hearing from her, and she's going to tell me she's found someone she loves. And I said, take it slow, you know, date for a long time. I don't care if you ever get married, just realize that you're worth love and you can have a successful relationship with somebody that doesn't end like your mother and your father ended. And you don't have to be the victim of something that you were collateral damage in. It's not about being the victim. And you aren't the victim of that because you weren't betrayed by your dad. Your parents had a divorce and it's not. That he didn't divorce you. You know, this is something that I've been noticing with people. And I feel like people sometimes really choose to marinate in that victimhood and that victim story. And they want to be the victim, or they think they are the victim. They believe they are the victim. And so because they're a victim, they have the right. I have the right to make your daughter hate you. I have the right to tell your son about you. I have the right, you know, to tell people what a POS you are. And so they kind of wear it like a badge, and then it entitles them to be mean or they can harm in the name of I'm a victim. You know, I'm owed, I'm due, you know, I went through this, and so therefore I'm entitled. And I see this a lot in the family counseling that I do. You know, again, people get injured by each other, male and female, you know, even gay couples, that you get hurt by each other, and then you start taking the kids down that same road with you. And that is the most abusive thing you can do, is to, you know, put a wound on them, put your wound on them, and then foster that and keep feeding it, and they can make it fester like an infection. And then they lose their father, they lose their mother, they lose one of their parents because they're fighting with, they can't stand them. And then they actually accuse their parent of something, or they treat them like crap. This happened this last week too. I have a father that travels a lot, and he makes a lot of money, and you know, he's home, you know, not that often, and he's got one daughter, and this little girl is just like saying the things like, you have to be here. You know, I'm watching that TV show. I don't want you in here. Can you go to your room? Really like cold and cruel. And so now he's getting her in counseling and things. And I said, well, what about your wife? What about what's going on with the wife? The wife's home with the child all the time. What does the wife say when the daughter treats you like this? And, you know, there's not a lot of conversation. I said, well, hold on. There's definitely a dynamic happening here. Is the wife okay with how your daughter's talking to you? Because there's a kind of a power play happening. This daughter feels entitled, and she's annoyed with him, doesn't want him to be around. Is that because there's genuinely something that happened? Or is this, she's picking up on someone else's vibe and treating him the same way mom treats him or something? I said, take a look at where this energy is coming from, or where this, you know, permission, I guess, is coming from. And really, you may have to talk to your wife and discuss what's really going on with the daughter. And has there been something that happened that you don't know about? He's just blindsided. This is like blindsided for him. And look, there's an influence happening. And that doesn't happen just in a vacuum. There's something happening and the daughter's out of line. Yet she's empowered to say what she's saying, and she's kind of being the victim of him. And so she gets to accuse him or be mean to him, which is not okay. It's just absolutely not okay. And it's harming her. It's harming her as well as it's harming the father. That relationship is getting ruined. That bond they had is getting ruined. And so he's like, well, do I quit traveling? Do I quit? I said, well, I think you need to find a good counselor and bring him in, and let's kind of hash through and see what's going on. Bring mama. Let's find out if there's something happening that mom's enabling. Is she intentionally enabling? Is she not intentionally enabling? I don't know. I'll find out. But I watch people, and this is a young girl, so I don't blame her, but I have to get to the bottom of what she's maybe doing or going through, that she's going to victimize her father that way or make him the bad guy. But you know, people get wounded, and instead of processing through it, they may choose to stay the victim. Look, there's leverage in that. You know, people get leverage and mileage out of being the victim, and you know, you hurt me, so I get to hurt you back, and I'm going to keep holding a grudge forever. Another recent case I had was, you know, some teenage young love, and these two have been together for about a year, and there were some early, you know, when they first got together, we're high schoolers, and you know, they're 17, going into 18. And there was some flirtation early on in the relationship. The boy flirted with another girl. And, you know, the girlfriend just was so mad about that, got really jealous, got hurt. And this was about a year ago. And so he's apologized over and over and said he's sorry and he won't do it again. And he has not done it again. But this has been something that's been going on, you know, the same fight over and over for about a year. And I talked to the young lady and I said, look, he's already said he's sorry. He's kind of cleaned this up with you. What is happening that you're having a hard time letting this go? And she said to me, well, he hurt me. He hurt me. And I said, okay, I got what he did hurt you. And do you think he was intentionally trying to hurt you? Was this something he's doing on purpose to hurt you? He's that guy. He wants to harm you. He's evil. He's mean. Because if he's that guy, you shouldn't be with him. If he's mean like that, he's intentionally trying to hurt you. No, I don't think it was intentional. I don't think he's trying to intentionally hurt me, but he hurt me. I said, okay, I got that you got hurt. But when you say he hurt me, you're acting like it's on purpose. You were literally weakened the relationship and he flirted with another girl and you're upset about that. Now, that's either something you're going to be able to get over or not. And if you can't, then you have to let him go. You have to break up with him because you're going to keep taking your anger out on him. And the stress load on this young boy was enormous. And he felt so guilty all the time when his health was suffering. I mean, literally. And I talked to him. I said, why is this, you know, why are you keep apologizing over and over for this infraction that happened a year ago? This has got to get put in the past. This is not, you know, you're not some bad guy. This is what happened. And you've said you're sorry. It's not cheating. It wasn't cheating. But it's almost as if he had cheated and, you know, got someone pregnant. I mean, it was like he was being treated like that. So it's interesting when someone's got the goods on you And I find this mostly with women. Well, I'm a woman, I can say this. Like, women never forget usually, but there's also sometimes women get the goods on the guy and I'm going to use this against him and he's going to pay for it. And that's what was happening in this young relationship. She was the victim and now she's entitled to some sort of, you know, he's entitled to bad treatment because you hurt me. This is, to me, a maturity thing. So I don't know that things always have to hurt us. If you're in a relationship and someone's cheating or betraying you in some way, you know, you can say, you know, you're really just not relationship ready. I'm not going to linger here. I'm not going to continue to, you know, be in this relationship with you. I'm going to end this relationship and I'm going to get away from you. I'm just going to walk away. I'm not going to continue to go back and get hurt even more from this immature person, or, you know, somehow they're just not ready for a relationship. They can't be committed or whatever is going on. If they're not sober, that person's going through something. They have low character. But I'm not going to take that on and make it about me, like I'm the victim and I get to be the victim of that. You know, I think some people that have addictions, like if they're alcoholic, drug addicts, and then they're in a relationship, and that relationship will say, that codependent relationship will say, well, this hurts me. It's really killing me that you're drinking and it's killing me that you're doing drugs. Yeah, it's affecting you for sure. It's going to affect you. And you have a choice to make. You stay in that relationship or you don't. But, you know, I'm finding this with people that they're the victim of it. And then they beat that person up for the infraction. And that person, if they're an addict, if they're a drug addict or an alcoholic, they've got some sort of self-soothing. This is their self-soother or whatever it is, their addiction. That person may share, I'm having a hard time. I'm using this. I'm using that to make myself feel better. And then their partner cannot go, okay, we need to get you help. Let's go to some meetings. What's happening? Let's find a professional. They're saying, well, that hurts me. You're hurting me. Now it's about them, instead of the person that has the problem. And the person that has the problem is worried sick about how they're going to lose the other person. So they're caught in this cycle and they can't win. And they can't now share what they're going through if they're using, because that person's going to abandon them or beat them up, or they do share and they get beat up. So I guess what I'm trying to say is this whole choosing to be a victim is really, or you think you are a victim when you're really not having to be. You don't have to be a victim, not always. And if you're with someone that makes a mistake or they do something to betray you and harm you, leave. Like, you can end it, you can walk away, you get away from that person. You don't have to stay and choose to be a victim, and you don't have to take it on and fight someone else's battle. And if you are victimized by someone or you are harmed by them, get yourself help, talk it through. Don't stay stuck in a disempowered position and then utilize the wound to, you know, harm other people. It's like you have you're entitled to get even. You're entitled to beat them up for however long you want, or you're going to hold a grudge the rest of your life and take your kids with you and make you hate that person because you got wounded. That's immature. That's very immature, and that's unhealthy. And if you're doing that, stop it. If someone you love is caught up in some sort of cycle and they can't get away from someone who is harming them, And they like being the victim, or they're choosing to be the victim, you know, try and have a real conversation with them about getting out of this cycle, because it's going to make both people a heck of a lot healthier to end that and walk away. I'll keep sharing. I'll keep bringing up what I go through with my clients. I love what I do. And people are fascinating. It's amazing when we tell the truth and we kind of deal with our stuff, how much easier life gets. We'll talk again. Bye.